walks into a bar. Joan Rivers is the bartender. He sees a sign over the bar that reads, cheese sandwich, $1.50. Hand job, $10. He says to Joan Rivers, are you the one that gives the hand jobs? Joan says, yes, I am. He says, well, wash your hands, bitch. I want a cheese sandwich.
All right, here it is, podcast. April 17th. The late, great Gilbert Godfrey there with a little roast of Joan Rivers.
Yeah, we're losing all the good ones.
We sure are. Dang. We sure are. I heard an old excerpt from his real voice, which if he created a bit the whole time he was in comedy, it was genius.
Yeah. It makes a little sense, because otherwise you're just going to be yelling all the time. But even then, it's like, that's your eternal bit, so anywhere you go, you got to put on the Iago the Parrot voice.
Right, right.
But yeah, that's funny hearing his real,
his normal voice. Just like, whoa, that's weird.
It just sounds like a regular guy. Yeah.
That's pretty normal. But like when you see him in interviews, though, he kind of does the voice, though, you know?
A little bit, yeah. I feel like there's different stages of it, you know? It's, right. Obviously, like roast and stand up and everything, and that's turned all the way up. And then, like, if you're doing like bantery interviews, it's up there. But then, if you're just doing like a serious interview, like that's how I thought it was, his normal voice, because he always like he'll just talk what sounds to be, you know, normally. But
right.
Apparently, it's not.
Apparently, it's not.
So there's still like a little bit of the bit, you know, even when he's answering like serious questions.
Yeah. But great. I talked to my sister about it yesterday. She's like, I always hated his voice. And then I heard that thing you posted, and it was crazy. Like, he just sounded just normal. I was like, yeah, it was weird, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. It was a real kind of hit or miss thing for a while before he developed like this cult following. It was because people hate his voice. I don't know. That was funny.
Yeah. His jokes were some of the best.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the material to go along with it. Yeah,
the material. You know, like the one I heard was, you know, so two boys come downstairs for breakfast, and the mom looks at the older boy and says, what do you want for breakfast? And he's like, I want the fucking French toast. And then his mom starts smacking him around, and his dad whips off his belt, and they're beating him, and finally they send him off to his room, and they look at the younger son, and he's like, they're like, what do you want for breakfast? He goes, not the fucking French toast. I was like, that's pretty good. But that was Gilbert's kind of style, where he would just tell jokes. You know, like you're talking to your friend, and he's telling you a joke.
Yeah. I think I remember the whole thing. There's one, it was like a little boy goes walking past his parents' bedroom. He sees his parents having sex. He flips out, his dad starts laughing. The next night, the dad's walking by his son's room and sees his son fucking his grandmother. The dad flips out, and the son goes, see, not so funny when it's your mother.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I forgot about that one. Yeah, but we lost some good ones, you know.
Yeah, no, Paula Poundstone's still kicking around, though. Nah, I don't want to give her too much. It's weird pantsuits.
Still have Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, I don't know if she ever branded herself as a comedian.
She, you know, obviously did a lot of stand-up in the beginning.
Yeah,
I remember seeing like her one-night stand, and I think she had a few HBO specials for sure.
Honestly, she dipped out of that after having her show there, and I don't mean like the whatever morning show, like her actual, you know, I think it was just
The TV show, the sitcom, the Ellen show,
Which, I mean, that sitcom wasn't bad.
It wasn't too bad. Funny. For the mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely a lower bar for sitcoms, because, I mean, like, once Seinfeld's out there, like, well, we're not going to beat this, so might as well just see what we got. How many seasons can we get?
How many can we get out of this?
You get two? Good enough.
But, what else was, like, I don't know, I think it was on Fox, wasn't it? That show was on Fox, I think.
Well, a lot of stuff was on Fox back then, but that's what Fox would do is they would run shit for, like, one season, and it would just be this weird off fucking show, and then the good shows that they have, like, you know, like Futurama and shit like that, like, yeah, we're
gonna get rid of it.
Yeah.
Or, the Chris Elliott had a show, I think, was was on was before that? Her.
Yeah.
Like on Sunday nights, and it was the Paper Boy. Where you ever see that? Chris Elliott played like he was like a 30-year-old guy living at home with his parents.
Okay, yeah, I vaguely
was a paper
that.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, you know, Madcap and and his life as a paper boy and living at home.
Yeah.
In the 30s, it was pretty funny. I remember watching it. And that wasn't too long after he like left Letterman and and kind of like branched out. I think maybe the Cabin Boy had came out already,
And he's a lot of people left Letterman. Conan was like, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to go do my own thing. And everybody started dipping out of there. I don't know.
And especially like towards the end after NBC and he moved over to CBS.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things changed. And Dave was always still funny and... But I always felt not as fun as he was when he was doing the late show, the late night show on NBC. There was just something a little bit more raw and fun about it.
Yeah, they probably had 15 writers, but I did like those top 10.
The old top 10 list was always...
Those were always funny.
They were always the best. Yeah.
Paul Schaefer over there.
Yeah. We got you, Dave.
What the hell is Elton John's drug dealer doing here?
Play a little dialing music, Paul.
Paul Schaefer in the CBS Orchestra.
Well, on NBC, it was the most dangerous band.
Mm-hmm.
And the most dangerous band.
Geez, that must have been a good gig for some of those people playing instruments. It's like, I mean, I don't have to play for 4 hours and get paid $50 and get a case of beer to take home.
Right. Shit. But a lot of those, like the musicians that would come in, like when they'd bring like the horn section in, like the Uptown Horns and stuff like that, that was all part of like the Saturday Night Live band.
And
guys who played on like the Blues Brothers records. And So Paul could always get a pretty good band in there.
That was it. And I wish I remembered the band name. Was it Bourbon Street, that blues bar, Printer's Alley?
Stacy Mitchart.
I have listened to him a lot. He's really good. But there was a different band, and I wish I knew the name of them, because that's the best way I can describe them is they sound like, it's like Saturday Night Live band.
Yeah.
Like all the, horn instruments, but it's like the level of talent out of it, because I mean the band's good, but they sounded like it was, I felt like I was on set. Very similar type of music.
Who was the guy who like took over the Saturday Night Band in the 90s? Remember him? He was always like mugging to the camera.
I probably do. I
can't remember his name, but he was always like, he was the guitar player, like, woo. you're it's good. But, I don't think we need all your camera mugging going on here.
Yeah, you got to ham it up. You got to cheat towards the camera. You got to get that extra, maybe you'll get an extra bump. Maybe you'll be in a movie.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not, though. You got enough money. It's fine.
Yeah. But I think I saw, talking about SNL, and Gilbert Gottfried did a season, I think, on SNL.
I know he hosted it before.
But I think he actually did a season back when it was, like, weird.
Oh.
Like, there was, like a transition person, like, did one season, and he talked, I think he was talking to Joe Rogan about it. He was just like, he goes, they hated me so much they put me in a coffin. So the whole skit, I was just in a coffin. With no lines.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't have any lines. Do you mean you just want me to lay here? That's it?
Yeah. And of course, then, I don't know, like when he was the Aflac duck.
Yep.
And then he got fired from that.
Wouldn't that be some shit? Like upon his death and the death, and people were going to play his most well known role as the Aflac duck. Some comedians, like they'll do old side gigs and stuff like that. Yeah. And it'd just be funny if like that was the first thing they were remembered him for.
And then I remember, I don't know, a couple, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he used to do a commercial for Dickie's Barbecue. I'd hear that. It was only on the radio. And it's just Gilbert Gottfried talking about, go on down and get your favorite pulled pork at Dickie's. When I'm thinking barbecue, I'm thinking Dickie's.
And Dan's like, eh, I need some extra cash. How long is this going to take? 20 minutes? All right.
But, you know, I guess, you know, back in the day, too, you know, that would have been, like, one of the comedians early on that I would always see, like, when HBO used to do their one-night stands and a half-hour comedy show where they'd have several comedians come in and do, like, five-minute sets. And
yeah, a lot of that stuff, I mean, that's when you get to see, like, early in the career, people like, well, obviously, like, the big ones, like Louis C.K. and Mark Maron and... Sarah Silverman's really funny, like in the 90s, stuff like that. And you had other people too, like that's what fucking just had a massive brain fart.
Yeah.
When Nick DiPaolo got like, his
Nick
start.
Nick DiPaolo started out on there. I remember seeing him, yeah.
There's some people that, like, I knew made it for a while. This guy, Adam Ferreira, was really funny. He was around for a couple of years, but then I didn't see him again after that. He was pretty good.
I guess speaking about Louis C.K., too, he won a Grammy for his comedy record.
Yeah, but it's not even the most recent one. But, it was the fucking one before, like the not the I'm Sorry one.
It was something before that, but it was crazy, and that. I guess everybody was pissed off about it, and I'm like, no, it's genuinely funny, and he's still funny.
Yeah, maybe he'll win again for the new one.
And, you know, a lot of comedians still stand up for him, too. I think I saw Dave Landau was talking about it, and he was just like, he's like... It was consensual, you know.
Yeah, and that's what he said. Even if they say yes, don't do it. So, I mean, it's a weird thing, but shit, with all the, there's like a weird shit going on. And of all the celebrity weirdness, that's pretty low on the fucking...
Yeah, it's pretty low on the bar totem pole now. Yeah, nobody really cares anymore.
Yeah, people fingering kids, and you're like, he jerked off in front of a woman who said it was okay, and it was like, never mind. I was like, geez, why'd you say yes?
Yeah, same way with, where we're at now, you know, you got, you know, women, you know, men, women winning women's sports and, you know, and...
Well, they need to figure that out. As a not so much of a fucking sports fan, unfortunately, still needs to
figure it out in some way. Let's just create another class, you know, the freak show class.
Well, if we have...
And then it's like, is this going to be, I thought about it, I'm like, okay, so if you're going to have trans women compete against trans women and trans males compete against trans males, basically we're still going to watch male and female sports with just dudes that look like chicks and chicks that look like dudes.
Well, it's...
I'm like, where's the sanity? The all trans NFL. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would call it a freak show. It's just something that needs... There's not enough, at this point, of a demand in the sports to create like a third section that basically says... Trans. That's your trans section.
Well, you know, it would be a boost for women's basketball.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, all of these extra sports, are people even going to watch it? Not that it matters. I think they should be able to do it. I think they should be able to, you know, participate. But it's like if you have something that's that creates just, like, an unfair advantage, then that's the part that, you know, I would disagree with. And that kind of does shit on, you know, the effort that...
Women's sports, Olympic sports,
and everything they're putting forth.
The effort, and here comes, 6'4" fucking Natalie jumping in the pool and, out swimming him by 2 lengths or whatever.
Yeah, it's...
seems kind of unfair.
Yeah, it does. So, the easy solution, because, again, too much into the sports shit. But the easy solution to that would be like, all right, so you need to, bolster fucking create a whole public campaign or whatever to get more enough trans people in sports where they just have their own section. And if you want to, because it's all personal fucking freedom. I just don't want it to be unfair.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fine. You can do whatever you want. I don't fucking care.
So if you have your own. Your own league, a league of your own.
A league of your own, that's what I'm saying.
And call up Tom Hanks.
The old trans league.
There's no crying in baseball.
You're absolutely right.
Is that Mark McGwire? What's he doing here? You know he's on roids.
Him and Sammy Sosa cranking them out of the park.
Yeah.
Like every time they get up there, crank one out of the park. I'm just like, yeah.
I think that's, yeah, that's part of it too. Like I say, like, I don't want to, you know, have an unfair advantage. They look at, like, other sports, like, well, the whole Lance Armstrong thing.
Right,
yeah. You know, he popped hot. But then again, like, you also realize that he was, like, the 17th, like, the first, if you... You know, if you found the actual winner of it, it was the one that came in 17th place because the other 16 guys were also, fucking roided up. So it's like, it's already...
enhancing drugs.
Yeah. Even talking about the Russian Olympics, like, I don't know what they're shooting them up with, what type of fucking polonium fucking crack they got. But they're, you know, they're all juiced up. So it's like, there's so much unfairness in it already. And, you know, that contributes to my lack of interest in it because it's like, well, I just want to. That's the real freak show. A bunch of fucking roided up people, which at that point, if you're going to do that, not only do you allow it, but you almost encourage it. You know, say, okay, take whatever you want. You want to smoke PCP before you get up there? Fucking do it. And go rip each other's arms off.
If your heart explodes, it's your fault.
It's like when Extreme Sports first came out. See, that shit I might start watching. If you just have, like, somebody, like, a giant dude on meth and a giant dude on PCP and bath salts, and who would win? I'm like, what are they playing, badminton? It doesn't matter. It's going to get bloody. Like, it's... Might tune in for that. I don't know.
The All Heroin Football League.
Yeah. Score is still 0-0.
They're all in the corner.
For the halftime show, Alanis Morissette. What do you mean she's not here? Get Amy Winehouse. Where is she at?
Hell yeah. The all heroin band. Hey.
So it's... It's just a sports thing.
Yeah,
it's,
you know, but I just think, you know, but...
Not everybody that's, you know, that's has transitioned or is trans is like a mentally ill person or something. I mean, they're not all Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, it's very true.
And Caitlyn Jenner is mentally ill for a litany of reasons.
She married a Kardashian.
And that was the beginning of the end.
That was the beginning of the end there.
It's all downhill from here.
Here are a house load of crazy broads. And they all got money, and they just look at you like, hey, let's paint Bruce up to make him look like a girl.
I think Bruce was all for it. And I was like, this gets me be stunning and brave.
Yeah, stunning and brave.
Or just, you know.
But then he comes celebrity. Out against biological males competing in women's sports. You know, he's like,
yeah,
no, that's
well, it goes back
unfair.
To the unfair advantage. Yeah.
He's like, that doesn't really make any sense.
It's what it should be centered around.
Right.
And, you know, I know people take it in other directions, but it was like, you got to get at the core
brave.
Issue, which is that.
Leah Thompson's so brave. I was like, everybody in that fucking gymnasium and that pool who were watching that was silent. There was no cheering, you know, when she won. They're like, yeah, maybe like her, like the mom. <You know? laughs> Everybody was just like, what the fuck?
Well,
I know that's the old news. We're talking about old news now. That's 2 weeks ago.
Well, maybe her and Will Smith can get in the slap fighting
get
competition.
A little slap fighting.
Yeah.
He got let go from the academy.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
Or he resigned. Or they probably said, maybe it's a good idea that you
just
quit.
Just take a break for a while there.
You go and, like, sort out your problems.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, exactly what goes on in somebody's mind. But it's like, he's definitely had some, like, not necessarily confidence issues. But, like, even being fucking Will Smith, like, you see, like, he goes full... overboard with that relationship with her, even though she kind of treats him like shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, like, why don't you just, like, you know, you can have, like, most.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough road. I mean, you know, obviously he agreed with it, but, you know, and, you know, there's still that psychic that fucks with people, you know, as far as, you know, that's right. You let your wife just do other dudes. That's cool. You know? And it's the same thing. You know, it's like Louis C.K. said. It's like, what if everybody knew your thing?
Oh yeah,
you know, it's the same way with Will Smith, you know. Everybody, I mean, I didn't know until like after the slap happened, and then I'm like, oh, they're in an open relationship. She's in an open relationship.
Yeah, I think that was it's mostly her to say.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a big fucking thing about it. Stupid though. It's
dumb.
He's gonna figure his own.
He's got to figure out his own stuff, you know. I mean, that's the way I look at it, you know. You got issues. I got issues. Everybody's got issues. Sorry that you're a celebrity and you got to put, you know, your laundry gets shoved out there in front of everybody.
Well, you said, you know, like you said, what if everybody knows your thing? But thanks to, you know, areas of social media like Twitter and everything, people pretty much do. Like anything that happens, it's you know, if you're at any in any facet in the public eye, like you know, your shit's gonna be out there. So that's part of the downside poor of being a celebrity. It's everybody.
That's all I'm saying is this poor guy. You know, I mean, I don't think he should have slapped Chris Rock, but still, Chris Rock took it pretty well.
Yep, and I think he kind of knows, you know, a bunch of shit's going on, and I don't think it was a bad joke that he made. But
it,
you know,
it wasn't a bad joke. It was pretty tame for Chris Rock. I've heard him say a whole lot worse. Mm-hmm. You know, Ricky Gervais said, "I would have made fun of Will Smith, not his wife."
Yeah, kind of his wife's boyfriend.
His wife's boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah. Which, that's... probably wouldn't have got you his slap. She would have been pissed, but he probably wouldn't have slapped her. I'm like, oh, yeah.
You know, and then Elon Musk out there trying to buy Twitter.
Yeah, he bought a portion of it or something.
He owned like 9.4% of it.
All right.
But now he is not the largest shareholder as of like Thursday or Friday.
Is it Bezos? Are they fighting now? No. Is Putin getting involved? Is he buying Twitter?
Vanguard came in and bought, now owns 10.4%. I'm like, oh, God. Here we go. They're trying to save their interest.
Yeah, and it's just the battle of people with too much fucking money.
Yep. But which is interesting, you know. I think Elon Musk is trying to make a stand. I don't know, you know. Maybe he just realized that it was a good idea, and like I can make a whole lot of money. Because when he bought the stock, it was like at 25, and it pushed up to like 30, and then he offered 54 to buy the whole thing, which you know is a lot.
54 a share,
which is a lot of money.
Look, yeah, it's, you know? It's a lot of money. That's at the same time, like, even the, as much as I do fucking hate Twitter, that is a really large platform with a whole shitload of people on it. And it kind of, it doesn't control the zeitgeist, but it definitely contributes to it in a major way. It definitely
contributes to it, for sure. And, you know, and he just basically just wants to open it back up to the way it was when it first basically came out as just a... the town forum, open platform.
Still never have Twitter, but if he open sources it so people can curate their own like feeds and what they see.
Yeah.
Like, so if your interests are, because that's what it kind of should have been in the first place. Like, let's say your interests are fucking cats and vegan bicycles and fucking, old LPs or something, that you could create your own feed. So that's what you see instead of just like, hey, look at this, look at the things that are going to make you angry or upset.
Right. Which has really become social media in general.
It has, yeah. You know, that's what it's devolved into.
You know, you go across Twitter and Facebook, and then you have your conservative outlets that have come up, like Getter and Gab, and Trump's, you know, Truth. It's just a big echo chamber of that everybody just agreeing with each other.
Yeah, it's a. Essentially, people do. It's just part of the online mental illness. Because a lot of people, and most people, I think a lot of people are fucking nuts, but most people you talk to, if you actually talk to them about issues, nobody sounds like the people on Twitter. And there are a few that really do, but it's not... It shouldn't be as prominent as it is online, because I think, you know, this smaller group of people... You know, whatever the fuck's wrong with them, they're not just making like one post and then getting back off. They will spend all fucking day on multiple platforms and just going through and posting shit and making new accounts. It's an obsession for a lot of people. It really has.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's
made society a little more demented.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, I mean, as far as you know, looking at social media and, you know, and just, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's just, it's pretty angry.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's kind of there for. And that's it. I like having a lot more independent creators rather than just having a few channels. That is a positive of it. The availability is more.
Right.
Like I said, people do choose their own echo chambers. So even then, it doesn't really get people in anything different. And then, you know, you have some independent creators, definitely not all, but some of them that are basically like, it's not even like infotainment. It's just kind of like a mild grifting that they're doing. Yeah. And it's, you know, most of the time it's just for money or, you know, just, you know, to get the, you know, personal gain out of it. You know, it's, and people are opportunistically shitty. That's it's kind of a big issue in a lot of places. It's not even that they might seek it out with that intention, but it's just, you know, maybe you can like, well, I know if I do this, I get this, and it's not the right thing to do, and it might come back at me later. But if I can, you know, people get greedy.
Yeah, very true. And somebody made a good point about, you know, Alex Jones when he got like banned from YouTube for the things that he was saying. And when he finally got kicked off, actually, he was actually, you know, working on changing the way he was trying to work within their guidelines towards the end.
Yeah, and, probably, you know, a little too late.
But probably too late. But once he said, the point is like, you know, really, they created Alex Jones. Because once he kind of got booted and went and did his own thing, then he could say whatever he wanted, it as crazy as it could be.
And also, like, it probably, rather than having a little bit, and I say a little bit because it's still Alex Jones, a little bit more of a nuanced view, what they did was kind of give this whole, you know, a paranoid idea that, that's not to say that people didn't want him shut down, but the whole idea that there's a cabal of people and he's the one that, the, you know, he's figuring out the real truth and the answers and, yeah, like, behind it. It took that and just, like, sent him fucking off the rails, because when they banned him, like, oh, it's not like, oh, I fucked up and said some shit I shouldn't have. It's like, oh, no, they are trying to silence me. Yeah. Oh, they're actually coming. Right. It validated, you know, some of the more bullshit points he had.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were saying, was like, it just kind of validated him. Like, yes, see, they're definitely after me. Look. And then he took that and ran with it, too.
Yep.
And I've seen other creators, you know, do the same thing. You know, I mean, some of the things that, you know, like when they go after Steven Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
And he always, you know, he always has all of his sources listed and everything. So a lot of times it's just like, yeah, they're really after him, you know?
Well, but he also does this thing where he'll go and kind of poke the bear and try to entice them into a ban, and then take that ban and be like, look, they're banning it. It's for farming out content views, partially too. But I also do agree that, yeah, of course they would want to shut him down. That would be preferred for YouTube.
Yeah.
So there's an aspect of truth to it, but it's like, but you also have to realize when people are, because he still has a fucking business to run, and everybody wants to, you know, consider stuff like, oh, this is just somebody who's like speaking from the heart. Like, and there are some aspects of that with a lot of, especially the independent creators, not so much the mainstream, but at the same time, they're running a business. So if they know they've, like, this is what you gotta, this is what'll get you.
We'll get you the clicks.
Rather than, you know, just doing a bit about fucking Ellen or some shit like that, like, you can go and like, you know, this is kind of an edgy sort of episode. So what you do is, you know, you kind of make it so that it's edgy enough, like you're trying to rope them in, basically, into banning you, and then you do, and you go, fucking hey, look at this, they're doing it again, I got banned, hey guys, really need your help, like, fucking, you know.
Right.
So, and that's a tactic that's not, like, unique to him, that's something that, you know.
Right.
He just has enough of a following where people will notice, and, you know, maybe it'll actually fucking, like, because if somebody does it and they have, like, you know, 30,000 subscribers, nobody's gonna fucking give a shit. But it's the fact that he's got, I don't know, how many million?
Right around 5, I think.
Yeah, what's up there?
We can look at Steven and see how many.
So it's not, you know, like, you'd have to have a big channel for that to be a thing to do. You can't do that, you know, if you're, you know, nobody. But I think he has enough of a following where that would actually produces additional income just through viewership and donations, stuff like that. So like I said, at the end of the day, still running a business, so. I look at them kind of at this point. I look at everybody like a politician.
Steven Crowder has 5.6 million subscribers.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So that's pretty good, you know?
It's better than CNN Plus.
That worked out really well. Yeah. I was like, we don't watch the other, the free CNN.
You know, a lot of people, myself included, being like, this is kind of like this outdated form of media that's trying to, you know, maintain relevance, and they don't adapt, so they just try to force people to, you know, keep watching their shit even though they're not changing it. And I think that's their way of trying to do too little too late. And yeah, like oh no, now we're gonna start adapting, we're gonna be like Hulu and fucking
everybody else.
Yeah, that's Disney Plus or CNN Plus.
Yeah, we do CNN Plus, you can get more fake news.
And by that point, it's already like people aren't, I don't know, too little too late.
But all of them, I mean, all your big networks have jumped on that. Like, oh, yeah. With NBC, yeah, the Peacock Network. And
yeah, they're now, and just now, in this
Paramount, shit's... you know, Paramount got into that. And
they're just now trying it.
And they're just now trying it, so.
Yeah, it's a little late.
It's a little late. I don't think they're going to make it.
There's already fucking 5 million apps. It's like, oh, download the Arby's app. Yep. Like, everyone has a fucking app. Yeah.
It's on the streaming platform. There's a million streaming platforms for just, you know, TV and movies.
You know, it's, I hope it doesn't really go back to, you know, like when cable came out, you had like, you know, oh, I got like 100 channels. And that's what's good. You got 100 apps where you can go and watch, you know, a couple different videos, and everybody's just, I mean, it's competitive and everything, but holy shit, is there, everybody's.
It's definitely like flooding.
Trying to get their dicks wet.
Trying to get a piece of it,
yeah,
as they would say. All right, well, let's take a break here for a few minutes. Coming up on 30 minutes. I don't have any more Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, shit.
Let's get back.
Just pop one up there.
Let's see if we can find something here. Is that real quick.
Conehead motherfucker. All right, never mind.
We'll just dig something up here.
Find a short one.
Yeah, some of them are pretty long. Yeah. Sometimes this joke gets kind of long, you know?
Well, they've had, this is another thing I've seen on YouTube. They got the shorts. They're trying to be like fucking TikTok now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're in 24 Holocaust joke.
David Hasselhoff. Let's do that.
Might be a good one.
24 seconds shouldn't take too long.
You know, I've always heard that David Hasselhoff has sold millions in Germany. But like a lot of stories out of Germany, those numbers are probably inflated, if not a complete hoax. Oh,
God. There you go. All right, well, we'll be back. Stay tuned. We'll have more to say.